This podcast is brought to you by eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. Why doesn't eHarmony allow copy and paste in first messages? Because you are unique, and your conversations should reflect that. eHarmony wants you to find someone who will get you. How are you going to know who gets you? If people send you the same generic conversation starters, they message everyone else. Conversations that actually help you get to know each other. Imagine that. Get who gets you on eHarmony. Sign up today.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Four Center podcast feed, and this episode is one of our deep dives, our Bacta tank of talk. We are going to swim around in the healthy goo while talking about the Lego Star Wars game, the Skywalker Saga. I'm very excited. Also, I'm Joseph Scripture.
I'm Kat Knapsack. You're starting to describe like a Star Wars Double Dare slime drop from Nickelodeon in the 80s, I think, which would be great.
If you got a question right, they'd dump Bacta on you, and it would be gross, but you'd feel much better. I love that.
Yeah.
Where's Jedi Temple Challenge when you need it?
Yeah. Could you breathe in, Bacta? Could you swallow it by accident? What does that do? That can't be good, but I'm not saying, you know.
It's got to be good for inside you, right? I mean, it can't just, be. You can't breathe, right? Because everybody's got the breather, right?
Yeah, I don't want anyone to drown on Bacta here, but I don't know. It's like I never did it as a kid, but my grandmother, big fan of Vicks Vapor Rub, and I always thought, well, why can't you just do a spoonful of it? But glad I wasn't allowed to try. I don't know the results or if anyone out there has done that, but.
That seems like always a dangerous question of why can't you just do a spoonful? Like, there's almost always a reason why you can't do a spoonful. That's what's wrong with life.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're going to get into Lego. We're going to have fun, but we want to let you know, as always, that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/fourcenter. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. This week, we are recommending Queen's Hope by E.K. Johnston. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/4center. Again, that's audibletrial.com/4center for a free audiobook. And with that out of the way, let's dive into LEGO Celebrating the Saga. We're going to celebrate and discuss this new LEGO game. Obviously, there have been these Star Wars LEGO games since 2005. I looked it up to make sure my memory worked. And right. My memory didn't, but the internet did. People have been excited about this game for a long time. You're able to play through the entire narrative of all 9 films in the Skywalker saga. And then you're able to do free play and wander around as just a dizzying amount of Star Wars characters in a shocking amount of environments and planets. So before we get into the new game, Ken, I want to start, as many things do, in the past. Did you play the LEGO Star Wars games when they first started to come out, 2005, 2006? And if so, what did you think about them then?
Oh, I loved them. I played them, and I looked it up, too, to make sure what year, because it all rolls into one, in 2005 and 2006 for the follow-up. And that was also like the years of the first Battlefront game, right? Around that time, I think maybe 4 or 5 or whatever it was. What a golden age for that era of post-prequel Star Wars games. Giant fan of them. Always, collected LEGO sets and stuff, everything from a kid. So I was very excited to see these things to mash together in 99 with the sets that came out. So a game, even better. The prequel one was so fun. And man, do you remember when you got to the end of it, you got that preview level of A New Hope on the Tanavi 4? Oh, my
yeah.
God.
I was reading about that on Wikipedia, and I don't know if I did everything to unlock it or not. I got the one in 2005. That was like a, of course, because I had played through the narrative of Phantom Menace in lots of different ways. There was the Phantom Menace game, and there was that Jedi Power Battles game, which I really, really liked, which was basically, you got to play a different Jedi, but you went through the prequel story, and like, I've fought Darth Maul in that power generator room so many times, so many ways. So I was excited to do that again. But then I hadn't played the Revenge of the Sith game. If it had even come out yet, I don't know. But I didn't play it, is the point. So I was really excited to play through all those stories. And what I remember the most from that game is that it was still relatively fresh, exciting, and absurd that I could hack things apart with a lightsaber as Jedi Master Yoda. I had grown up so long with, does he have a lightsaber? Did he ever have a lightsaber? Has he decided they're not for me? And then, the big reveal in 2002 in Attack of the Clones, that's my primary memory of just like, I think at the time for like gameplay, I felt like, I played Resident Evil. I play adult things. Like, this is a fun game, a little bit more family friendly than some of the stuff that I play. And I remember just spending hours just being like, I don't care. I get to cut things apart as Jedi Master Yoda. That alone was thrilling for me.
And we're going to talk a lot about the LEGO humor. And these were the games that had no dialogue, right? They were just silent movies with good pantomime. Yeah. And there was just something fun about it. And you're right, whether it's sports games or Tony Hawk or, Resident Evil's hot, all those games, there was something that just made you kind of stop down and enjoy the silliness of it all. And playing with the character, because there's a connection with me in LEGO sets where I think a lot of fans who collect, or Star Wars fans who collect LEGO, there's something fun about seeing something from the films represented in LEGO brick form. I have that set that's the set that it's the little Vader transformation scene where it's the medical bay where he gets built as Vader. That's a crazy, dark, wild scene, right? To see it LEGO form, almost like it's a happy version of it. It's just, I love it. And so when these games, particularly the first one, 05, when you're seeing stuff from the prequels in like a LEGO form and you run around as Padme and you're grappling and swinging all over, it was really special. It was really fun. And I couldn't wait to see what was around the corner about, how are they going to do that level or how are they going to build that? Or what is Jar Jar going to look? I just loved all that.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that I am experiencing this wonderful thing where I don't remember a lot of that game. I know I played it all the way through. So now I'm getting to re-experience exactly the things that you're describing in this new game, because I was scrolling through on Wikipedia here and I had forgot that Dexter's Diner, it says Dexter's Diner is the area where the player chooses what level to enter. And I remember being thrilled spending so much time there and just, you know, watching the different weird characters walk around and all that.
Oh, that's right. They come in and they're just marching around, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. I think it's where you kind of were able to choose your characters. Yeah, I also see that here in the United States where we live, it came out on October 25th, 2005. And I think that's a part of the reason that, like, I remember having played this game. I remember Yoda, but that was such a weird time in my life where I had started dating Sarah and she had just moved to London and I was doing everything in my power to find a way to figure out how to go live in London with her. It was like a real turn the page time in my life. So I think I have other memories that that used up the long term memory space in this time. In a way, it's been fun because it's been this attempt to archive or to dig out those memories. Mm-hmm. But also, like I said, get to experience the new game fresh. Yeah, because I forgot when I experienced it before. So any other thoughts on the old games or your journey with them before we get into the new one?
No, we could just do a whole flashback episode, so I better force ourselves to move on.
Fair enough. So paint the picture. When did you buy this new game? Where did you start? What was kind of like your emotional journey getting this game and beginning?
So funny, I hadn't looked. I knew when it was coming out, but I did not look at any of the pre-order stuff, you know, busy playing other games, busy with life, all those things. And I decided, oh, I better look at that. So I sat down in the PlayStation store. Oh, there it is. I pre-ordered. I didn't get the special one. I just pre-ordered whatever it was. I can't remember. This is last week, right? This is how crazy life is. I can't remember the details last week. But it was I pressed the pre-order button, and then the thing came up, and I was like, it's 2 hours from now. Oh, the game releases tonight. Oh, I got it. So I didn't have any long anticipation of seeing it on my screen of 4 days away. I just was like, oh, cool. I'll go work out. I'll come back. I'll play the game. I'll load the game up. So that was kind of actually good for me to just dive in fresh and with no that frustration of, oh, it's downloading. It just happened. So that's how I went into it. And then just where I started without hesitation, I started with episode one.
Yeah.
Didn't entertain 4 or 7, went to 1.
Talk me through that thought process, or was it not a thought process, or was it just like, of course, that's the way one plays this game?
It was the of course of it all, but also I think goes into the nostalgic conversation about 2005. Like, that's how my Lego Star Wars experience began in video game form, was Phantom Menace. So I just went there right away. I wanted to go back and connect with that. It was a gut reaction. And the little screens that you can, you know, choose the episodes are great. They're wonderful. They're interactive. I love that. But no, went right to episode one.
Yeah. And for anybody who hasn't played the game and is listening, it's a great setup where you can play the first film of any of the trilogies, and then you have to go through it to unlock the other two films, right?
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, so you have that choice between Phantom Menace, A New Hope, or Force Awakens. Yeah, I mean, we've been covering it on the podcast, you know, from announcement through to different delays and whatever. And I think I remember just being really excited that it was going to be the whole Skywalker saga. We'll talk about some of the kind of the weight of that in the fan mm-hmm. community. But yeah, I had not pre-ordered it. I had not thought about it. Life has been very, very busy. We've been covering lots of Star Wars stuff, which is of course a joy, but then also just a logistic challenge. I've been saying multiple times lately, I'm reading the Kenobi Legends book as my personal fun reading, and as soon as I get done with that, I need to read Queen's Hope, which I desperately want to read, but we're actually doing a review of that, and that's just kind of like this little picture of trying to fit in all of the Star Wars because we're so lucky to have so much of it. So I had forgot that this was the date, and then I saw the tweets and I saw everybody blowing up, and I was like, there's just such joy.
Yeah.
And I love the moments when there's just joy in the fandom and everybody's having fun experiencing something. And it's like, And I said to you, I was like, well, I have a couple little windows free where I can play enough of the game, I think, to talk about it. Mm-hmm. And came to you and was like, should we do this for Deep Dive next week? Because I want to make time for this.
Yeah.
And I also get into this thing where, like, a lot of the modern pre-orders, you know, if you pre-order at this date, at this time, on this system, yeah, you get this thing. It's just like, it's dizzying to me. Yeah. So I turned on my PlayStation 4 and already I've got that. Do I need a PlayStation? How soon are they going to kick me out of being relevant in the world because I don't own a PlayStation 5? I'm like waiting for the day that I turn on my PlayStation 4 and just says, you are no longer a human in society. You need a PlayStation 5 to function.
Soon,
right? And so I was thrilled to open it up and see that, yeah, for the $10 extra, I could just download now the deluxe that comes with the classic Obi-Wan and Mandalorian and in solo packs. So yeah, hit that. Still only, I think, the second time that I've just been like, I don't have to go to a Target and just buy the video game online. Downloaded very quickly. And then I just like you, there was no hesitation. Mm. It was Phantom Menace. And I think for me, it's because a part of the power of this game is like, this is the first thing that's kind of celebrating without any debate or conflict of like whatever people thought when the prequels first came out, however mad people were at the Ewoks when Return of the Jedi came out, however mad people still are about various sequel debates. Here's a thing to just celebrate the story laid out before you. And for me, I think because of that, it's a like, I want to walk through it in order. I want to play it in order to the best of my ability. And that is why Phantom Menace just made sense to me, to just begin at the beginning as it was advertised.
Yeah, it's certainly the spirit of the game, which we might bring that up again. I think I was going to discuss this later, but you in hearing you talk about it, that opening of the game, once it all loads and you hear Luke just breathe and it starts there and it goes through all the fights and everything, it's so good. So well done that it just, I got caught up. Like, I think that was it too, of like, well, no, I definitely have to start at episode one because that's where the Skywalker saga begins. It's such a love letter to it all. You're going to hear that phrase a lot in any discussions of this game. It's a love letter to start with. Love letter. It totally is. And I think that kind of just flowed from there.
Yeah. And I'm glad that you brought that up. That opening is so well done. I feel like that you could almost just do an edit of actual footage, right? Mm-hmm. And make that, and it would be a moving trailer. It's a trailer about Star Wars poetry, about, you know, choosing to be a hero, about the spiritual power of the Force in their jokes. But then, and it really builds into that, you know, great picture of them all these characters together with lots of fun jokes. You watch Rose shock Jar Jar for trying to eat a mouse droid again and again. great fun stuff. But it's got a reverence that leads into the fun. And that's it's great to see all of the characters combined that way, but it's great that it starts with like a reverence and a joy of this is special. It matters. And now we're going to have fun with it.
Yeah. And it's catchy because, you know, I'm not going to lie. There's some gameplay frustrations I've had and happy to discuss, but I didn't even allow myself to live in that for too long because of that beginning, the opening, and then you mentioned too, just the discussion online, the absolute love that's out there. And this happens every now and then, believe it or not, where Star Wars just something, whether it's Grogu shows up or something, where just there's a widespread love and joy in the fandom. And I relish those moments because we don't get them often. And yeah, so there are little subsections of this or that, people upset. Sure, I don't see them. And I think all that just kind of, because I was with you, the tweets were starting to come in by the time I really took a play in the morning with a cup of coffee. Just that intro, that opening just flows right in and we're going to celebrate.
Yeah, and it gets you excited. And I talked about this on our live stream, but the first thing I did was I was so excited to be Qui-Gon and ignited my blade and just started hacking and accidentally hit Obi-Wan. And it's like, this is not how I wanted to start this game, by hurting Obi-Wan. What was like the first thing you did? Did you just kind of roam around that first room, or did you charge forward playing the story?
I That's a great question, because you begin up there when you land, right, with Qui-Gon and young Obi-Wan. I think I took a little bit of a journey, but then I got this. I'm the type of play, on these open world games, even if something I love like Red Dead Redemption, I race through the story pretty fast, almost to the point of I regret it with some of those other games. But this one, knowing also we were going to discuss it, I've been trying to move in a little faster, and that it does move fast. So I did not get to explore a lot of the Phantom Menace levels yet.
Yeah. Well, let's dive into that then. Let's discuss how far we are in the story and get into our overall reaction. So first off, how far are you in the story? How far have you progressed?
As of this recording, I've got to get the princess out on the Falcon. I am in Hoth and just went through kind of a slightly frustrating level of calibrating towers where I had to pull up a YouTube video to just, what am I doing wrong? Got through that and yes. And then I got through. I knew before we got on air today, I wanted to discover how I was taking down adepts this time, something you've always brought up in a very humorous way of what is the thing I have to learn? And there's a little bit of a learning curve. It's not as bad as other games. So I took down some walkers and now I got to get the princess out. And I was like, all right, that's a good place I can stop.
Yeah. I'm going to spoil that. I'm not there yet. How does the mechanic work of the tow cable? Do you make the shot and then it kind of auto does it for you? Or do you have to figure out exactly how to spin in a circle precisely correctly?
It does make the shot, not make the shot for you, but you know, the little square comes up, you know, when you fire and it's a boom and it does a little quick cut scene and then you've got to fly around. Duh. But the first couple times I went the other way and I kept breaking the rope and I had Shadows of the Empire flashbacks where I started to get frustrated. And then I flew almost to the back into Echo, almost landed in Echo Base again in the hangar and then just went back slowly and was like, all right, take a breath. You can do this. This is designed for children, right? Do it.
How many times have I done this? NES Empire Strikes Back, I think. Yep. But for sure, Super Empire Strikes Back for the Super Nintendo.
Yep.
Every Rogue Squadron game, practically. How many times?
Yeah, and it felt a lot like the Shadows of the Empire one to me.
Yep.
Yeah, but it's fun. And once you get the hang of it, it's no problem. And I hit true Jedi on the level. So that's, you know, a lot of studs acquired. So.
Oh, yeah. That, you need studs to be a true Jedi. That is a fun mechanic and turn of phrase to make you want to collect those studs. Yeah, I think maybe the two things I've done most in video games when it comes to Star Wars is fight Darth Maul and fire that harpoon cable. So sometime I want to defeat Darth Maul by tying him up.
Yeah,
with the harpoon cable. Yeah, for myself, I didn't. I really tried to be like, I'm gonna play through fast, and I will be very honest. I am video game rusty. But I played all the way through Attack of the Clones. I wanted to get much farther. Like I set aside a huge chunk of time on Sunday.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm sure I can get at least halfway through that. Like, no, I got through Attack of the Clones and that's it. So then as of recording, I jump forward to play Force Awakens because I wanted to experience a little bit of the sequel because I haven't got to play that. I didn't do the Force Awakens Lego game. So that was really fun to hear those themes and to roam around there. And I got in Force Awakens, I got as far as Finn and Rey just escaped in the Falcon. I just, moments before we recorded, I just shot down a lot of TIE fighters.
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful. Love that.
Yeah. So that's, so obviously this is coming from this isn't a review, right? I mean, neither of us are done with the game and we don't always approach things as a review. We approach them more as, what are kind of the big ideas? What is meaningful and what are moments that we enjoy? So, if you're listening to this and looking for a full review by people who have completed the game, this is very honestly, not what this is. This is a celebration. So with that in mind, that we have not completed the game, what is your overall reaction?
I think my love of this game, my enjoyment of the game has actually grown. Where if we had recorded this in the first 2 hours of my gameplay last week, late last week, I wouldn't be grumpy. Some of the gameplay, like I said, it remains frustrating and has always been frustrating with the modern Lego games. By the time Because the first Indiana Jones Lego game is wonderful. I think that was my favorite so far. And then the game started to change. The dialogue started to appear, all those kind of things. The Force Awakens one you mentioned frustrates me. I did not, never completed it. Frustrates me to no end. So I started to have some of those feelings. It's a me, not game problem. Again, I know you have that issue with some of the flying too. And I was starting to get a little grumpy of just like, I was finding myself turning the game off quicker than I thought. Yeah, I gave myself an hour, 30 minutes in, I was turning it off. And then, but I was seeing everyone tweet. I was seeing people in our Discord. I'm seeing just the joy. And no one was talking about loving or hating the gameplay, right? They're just like, oh, did you see that scene? Oh my God, the voice work of this character. And I started to go back. And today, I had a great day this morning. I woke up at 7. We record, usually start recording at 11. I, from about 7:30 to 10:50, played the game. And, you know, I had to tell Grace, I got to do this for work, you know? And that was fun. And then, I'm kind of itching to go back, like, you know, and that wasn't the feel on Saturday, Sunday. And I think that's just getting caught up in it and getting caught up to kind of the point of the game. It isn't this big, you got to go out and win and defeat. And it's a Red Dead story that's going to make you cry. I know how it all ends up. It's about experiencing the world and experiencing the characters and that joy that I originally felt in, oh my God, they built Lego Star Wars sets in 1999. What will they see? What will I see next? That started to take me over.
Yeah, I think that's the thing for me as well. The game is really, really fun. The times where I was playing, like, okay, I want to see how far I can get and really, really pushing hard to go fast. There were some moments that were fun that way, and other moments where it's like, okay, well, I got to take a deep breath and just like really slow down and enjoy the atmosphere, enjoy the jokes, enjoy, you know, poking it in little corners and allow myself to enjoy it. The thing that I discovered that is one of those video game things that just gives me great, great joy is I love picking things up with the Force. Anytime you can do that anywhere for any video game for any reason. But when I was on Coruscant and realized, hey, what would happen if I just threw them in the air? And you can just pick up a bench and just hurl it as far as the eye can see and it just disappears. You know, smash it against the Jedi Temple from what seems like a mile away. To me, that's the magic of this game.
Yeah.
That sense of fun, right? And I think I'm having the most fun when there are levels where, you know, I'm not hunting or puzzle solving as much. I know that's a big part of the game. But when I'm just being the character and kind of have some other characters around to fight, like I really loved being in the Geonosian arena, and I'm supposed to be fighting Jango Fett, but just like, I'm just going to keep fighting droids, you know? Or there's a level where in Force Awakens that I just played this morning where Finn and Poe are trying to escape, and I just I'm supposed to get on the TIE fighter, but I just kept running around as Poe changing hats and pants because I could, you know. Those I think are the moments that are really, really enjoyable to me. Some of the mini games are really, really great and fun. I love the part in Phantom Menace where you've got that huge Booma slingshot and you're just blowing up legions of B1 battle droids.
Yes.
That is heaven. Some of the flying, the flying problem for me is I have an instinct that I need to push forward on a stick to fly forward. And this one is the, you know, if you want to go faster, you push the X. So without even thinking about it, my instinct is to push forward. So I'm constantly like, all right, I'm flying. I want to get there a little faster. Why am I going up? Oh, because you push the stick, you fool. that's my particular problem there. And some of the jumping and hunting for every little thing is just not where I'm at. You know, I know it can be fun, but when I get those screens at the end, it's like, you didn't find any mini kits. I'm just like, bleep you, game.
Yeah.
Because it's, and again, we've been saying this multiple times. That's a me problem, not a game problem. Playing this was really, really fun to reconnect with what I find joyful as a gamer. Mm-hmm. And when I just feel like, you know what, I've hunted in every corner of, you know, various video games levels for years to find every, you know, statue or tape recording or Yeah. Whatever it is this time, diary from a therapist at Arkham. Like, I think I'm done. I think I'm good.
I think I'm good. Yeah. The Attack of the Clones. I think I'm at like, I completed the whole episode, but that's like the lowest percentage of anything completed of my game so far. I got through the Django outside, you know, everyone for years have been saying seismic charges. That's my favorite sound in Star Wars. I don't know if I want to hear that again for like a year. Because I kept being unable to find Django at a level that was embarrassing. And so all I kept hearing was, I tried to turn my ship around, like, he must be over there. No, he's over there. And then I crashed and, oh my God, I finally got through that. The pod race one, I even tweeted about it. It had the potential to be a controller thrower. If I didn't win and I snuck by, beat Sebulba on the last second, and I was like, that's it. We're never doing that again.
How many times did you do the pod race?
Oh, so only two, but the first, the first time, you know, cause you gotta do that thing where you gotta reconnect the jets, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I get it. That's so awesome for the story, but your intention, I was in first place when you did that. Now I'm in fifth. That's not fair. And then I kept trying to take the shortcut, you know, to launch myself in air, which it was working. But sometimes you miss the turbo arrow.
The speed up, yeah.
Oh, my God. And so I finished third. I think even, you know, Rats Tyrell survived and finished in front of me. I can't remember. It's a Bulba one. And I thought, well, you know, then it's sad because then it cuts to, like, everyone in your pod watching, you know, and Shmi and Padme, they're all unhappy. And it's like, well, the movie ended right there, I guess. So then the second time I was like, if this happens again, I'm done. I don't know. I'm just going to have to go to another mission. I can't do this. And I won. And I thank God. Cause it was, I did it again. Cause I was in first place again, dropped to like fifth, sixth place when those, the engines come apart.
Yeah. It is one of those, you know, you have to figure out the mechanics in the moment. Right. Yeah. And luckily on my second time through, I was just like, I'm trying to go too fast. I didn't look at what it's asking me to do. And once I figured out how it wants me to reattach it, then, you know, yeah, I won on the second time, but I also was like, you had already told me like that you're shaking your fist at the pod race. I was like, Oh no. But the actual racing was great fun. And I think, this game allows you to play it in lots of different ways. And I think for me, it was an epiphany of, I have been such a gamer at times in my life. And when I say times of life, I mean from about 12 to, I'm not even going to say, for decades, a huge part of my life. And I think I'm just in the place where I love video games when they're fun and escapism and you get to do a fantasy of something you can't do in anything that gets even a slight bit tedious. I'm like, I got that in real life. That's not what I'm here for. I don't need any help with things being tedious or repetitive. I'm good.
Yeah, totally.
I'm here for the fantasy. I'm here for throwing benches in the air.
Totally.
Again, a personal thing, not the video game. So let's talk about the comedy. It's so such a huge part of what these games are. What do you think the value of highlighting the comedy of Star Wars in these games really is? What's the value of it?
It creates a different mood, much like, you know, with the frustrations going on, then you get to a funny scene or even some of the stuff throughout, or even some of the choices they've made narratively, how to combine some scenes and squish some things together. It just creates a fun mood. And despite, and I mentioned this in our live show last week, I had a couple moments of that, but that's not how it happened. Where I had to like, wait, that I'm completely missing the point. But that was kind of the fun. Especially in Hoth, you're out on a mission where it's General Rykan and Han. That's a great team up, you know, like it's amazing.
And General Rykan?
General Rykan is that you got to go out and you're controlling him and you're riding a tauntaun with him. And I'm like, well, yeah, that didn't happen. It's amazing that it happens here in this game. So it just it fully taps into those inside jokes and the little loves that are the foundations of our Star Wars fandom, right? Those are the shared jokes where I can be a seismic charge guy and so can you across the party and we connect over that. There is in New Hope where General Dodonna speaking, and it, you know, it's not the lines from the movie, it's a voice actor recreating the plan provided by Princess Leia. And it's like, yeah, because that's how he says it. And that's a little joke that we all have of, well, Donna said Leah. That's Leah. And so it captures that. And so I think it really, this celebratory angle that we need to have here, that the game does help provide, that's where it really succeeds. Just makes you laugh at the things you love at Star Wars.
Yeah, I think that's really well said. I think for me, just the existence of the game and that it's so comedy forward, it is this reminder to approach Star Wars with a sense of fun. Mm-hmm. Not that it doesn't matter or there's not depth to it, but that fun should always be a part of it. It emphasizes the whiz-bang mm-hmm. adventure because you're, you know, literally playing the exciting parts, but also you're sometimes just playing the walk to the diner parts, which yes. is also exciting. But it emphasizes that whiz-bang adventure. And I think for me, it really got me remembering, you know, how much Lucas embraced the, like, this is the modern mythology I wrote to try to help a generation, now multiple generations. But from the beginning, starting with Hardware Wars, he was open mm-hmm. to like, but it should be fun. There should be a sense of fun when people started making more fan films. Instead of trying to squash it, he made a fan film award competition, right? There's always been this encouragement of good natured humor. And I think that we've talked a lot about how there's been times in our life where we love making jokes about Star Wars because we knew they were coming from a place of love.
Yes.
Of, you know, growing up with people who love the original trilogy. So then it was fun to poke fun at Dodonna saying the wrong name or saying pronouncing Leah's version. Name that way. It was fun to poke fun. And then once you get into the prequels and the sequels, jokes are often coming from a place of criticism of this joke is maybe a little mean-spirited and it is a joke to prove that there was a mistake made or something's bad.
Yeah.
And this is the total opposite of that, of this, like, we all know Star Wars and we're going to have some fun with it. So that is great from just the let's have fun. But then the way that actual comedy functions, we're both comedians. We've talked about this a lot. My view of comedy is that everything has a setup line, even if it's not a joke structure where you literally say a setup line and a punchline. A lot of times the setup line isn't spoken. It's our cultural knowledge of what is something that we all believe to be normal. Now here's something subverting it. And I feel like the setup line, the straight line to the punchline is the fan relationship to Star Wars of most of the jokes are subversions of existing moments, right? You know what's normal. You know what's supposed to happen. Now, instead of it being a straight line, it's going to be a weird scrawly line. It's going to be this sudden surprise. And I think an example that a ton of people have shared, I saw another one just this morning of Maul's murder of Qui-Gon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Of that, where he has already been cut in half and then just last minute pokes him, right?
Yep. Yep.
And that is entirely playing on this structure where we, as a setup line to a joke, know Maul has to stab Qui-Gon. We can't subvert the story that much, right?
Yeah.
And so how are we going to do it in this surprising way? And then even escalating the joke farther with the joke of Maul's death, even being just ahead and still fighting, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It so celebrates the fan relationship because it relies on the fan relationship for a lot of the jokes.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can't imagine anyone sitting down and being like, I never did check out that Star Wars stuff. Let me get the story here. this game. No, absolutely. And just even the little things that one little bit of humor I loved was when you go to Obi-Wan's hut and there's pictures of him and Commander Cody on the wall, you know, like the good times. And it's just who hasn't had that conversation about poor Cody and what he Order 66 and all that and their relationship. It's just fun stuff like that. Yeah. Taking our knowledge, taking the conversations we've all had, the inside jokes. And you're right. The tone and tenor of those jokes has changed over the years. And that began with the prequel era. So funny. One of the lines, I used to have a couple friends when they were a married couple, they'd always make fun of it, posted it like on MySpace of Padme and Anakin and her being like, let's go back to Naboo and hold me like you did in Naboo. There's already some stuff in E.K. Johnson's third book, The Queen's Hope, that takes that line and turns it into something so poignant and powerful that I will never stand for jokes about that line again. But at the same time, back in the day, that would have been just, it is kind of a fun, funny read, right? It's an awkward read a little bit of the line. And we don't get to celebrate that like we used to. And these games, even with the prequel era stuff, it's just celebrating it in a fun way. Again and again, that's the big theme today.
Yeah, yeah, and a lot of great picture humor. I love when the beginning of Attack of the Clones, when Palpatine's got a picture of himself with Dooku.
Yes.
When they're talking about who could be responsible for this. Hmm?
Well, and the little joke of them, a couple times they're always showing like text messages.
Yes, yes, yeah, love and he's that. Got the cantina yeah. theme is the ringtone and the one. Yeah, it's great. The other thing that I'm appreciating is once you get into the story and realize it's going to be shockingly compressed, mm-hmm. that's a little bit of the fun too of like, where are they going to compress the story? Yeah. Like there was a moment where I almost threw the controller because I foolishly thought for a moment that we were skipping Dex's diner. I'm like, what? But final thing I wanted to say about the comedy is I feel like another great thing of playing this long story is it builds up this tension of how are they going to handle the moments that are too horrible to show?
Yeah.
That like you need, mm-hmm. Like I really like this morning playing Force Awakens where Finn gets an ice cream smear on his helmet instead of the blood, right?
Okay, that's great.
Yeah. So I think it's yeah. just like it's building up this great tension of like, they can't just straight up show that. So how are they going to handle it and yeah. using tension to make a joke funnier?
There's a little of that with Antilles' death, Ramus Antilles' death. And then, spoiler, sorry, Joseph, I know you haven't got this far. Dak, not around.
Just no Dak.
No Dak. He doesn't fit in the Lego set anyways, so no Dak.
Dak Erasure.
Yeah.
Unfortunate.
So you don't see him squished.
Yeah, poor Dak. Poor Dak. Well, how's Luke going to learn his lesson? Anyway,
right.
What do you think the value of celebrating the whole saga is? We talked about it a little bit, but I wanted to make sure that we had a chance to really dive in. Why does it matter that this is the entire Skywalker saga?
I mean, we have the chance to, right? Yes, Star Wars is going on, has gone on. The end of the Skywalker saga, I've said before, is a great marketing tool. There's some truth to that. But obviously, we're going to get more storytelling there. And you can be cynical about that or just celebrate these 9 films. And this is what this project is doing. From that opening that we talked about, you just really get to celebrate the journey thus far. It's generations of fans, generations of characters and stories and movies. And it's all out in front of you. And I keep going back to that. I just love it. There's been a few times, you know, when I launch up, like other games that I play all the time, like I'm jamming that X button just to get out of the opening scene, like the opening intro graphics and stuff like that. Like I've seen it. It's MLB The Show because I want to play the game before dinner. I've let that opening play almost every time. And that's just because, again, I'm looking back. I get oddly emotional on those journeys, those shared journeys we've all experienced. And I just think we get to. So let's do it.
Yeah. Yeah. I really, really agree with that. I think for people who are already fans of all 9 films, maybe they have their personal favorites or their quibbles here or there, but in general are like, yeah, I like all 9 of them. I like the Skywalker saga. It's all one movie, as some people say. It's all one story. Mm-hmm. There's just a joy in sort of, it's all the same. There's no...
Yeah,
there's no filter. You can jump from one scene in the prequels to one scene in the sequels once you got it all unlocked if you want, and it's all the same. It's a great leveler, right? And it's really fun to experience it that way. It's fun to pick out, even in this telling of the story, some of the Star Wars poetry and the rhythms, and then to focus on maybe people who don't like certain parts of the story. I think this is a real Lore Santeca, this will begin to make things right opportunity, you know? Mm-hmm. We've talked about a lot about the power of bringing Star Wars into your life. There are stories on screen, but there's something about this story that makes us want to be a part of it. And we bring it into our lives with video games and toys and bedsheets. And video games in particular are a way to make it personal that helps open the door to reevaluating stories that might not be your favorite and to make a little bit of a connection. You've told your story many times about playing, you know, Revenge of the Sith or Battlefront and that opening up some emotions to the prequels, right?
Yeah.
I think if somebody's like, I want to like this part of the saga, but I haven't. But hey, just running around in this environment or flying this ship makes me go, yeah, I do like that ship. I think it just lowers defenses and opens up the possibility of enjoying something more. I don't think somebody who doesn't like The Last Jedi is going to play this and go, wow, I was wrong. Last Jedi is a perfect film. But if you're a Star Wars fan and you want to like it, spending some time in it yourself might open you up to go, but I like this part and I like that part, and just warm your heart a little.
I've been full agreement with this. Yeah, you're right. I've shared that story, Battlefront 2, the Mustafar level, but also the Lego games, 2005, the prequels, playing through all that stuff. And there's something about it. You said it. It all kind of looks the same, all kind of feels the same, and it's one thing. And look, we're talking about our experience with the prequels or video games then, and there's probably a lot of people with the sequels. And look, if you absolutely hate either of those trilogies, I don't know if a game's going to help you, but I actually think it possibly can and has a great chance to. But also, the original trilogy. I think I was recounting this on a recent Force Center, but I was having a conversation with Steph Sabra. A lot of you might know her from the Schmodown world and SEN, all that kind of stuff. And she's a big Star Wars fan, but she told me at a party recently, she goes, it's very hard for me to get anyone from my age group to watch the original trilogy. I said, why? She said, well, it just doesn't look good. Like, it doesn't stand up to us. And that's one perspective. That's not true. Everyone, but so let's say you have that problem and now you're sitting down the original trilogy and it all looks the same. It's Lego. I think you do start to see parts of it. You do start to get swept up in it. And the sounds, the actions, the vehicles, how many times, I don't like the prequels, but that N1 Starfighter is really cool. That does pull you in, and to see it all on display here and one cohesive game, I think it will affect more people than even those people realize.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That's such a great anecdote. It makes a ton of sense. It's different technology. It's a different time. Yeah. But I feel like this is just a game that is really looking toward the future right now because of the most recent, the sequel battles are the most heated. But just like with the prequels, in time, those battles will subside a little bit. And I think people will just look at this as the entire story. And it's fun to see that kind of the first step toward that inevitable future.
Yeah, indeed.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to be back to talk about some of our favorite moments and maybe a few more moments of the things that we wrestled with. Back in a moment for all that.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
And we are back to continue our celebration of the Star Wars LEGO Skywalker Saga game. Let's talk favorite moments of gameplay. Ken, what have you really actually enjoyed playing and doing?
Yeah, I made a list and I realized we've passionately stumbled into some of those answers already. another run at the AT-ATs, which, by the way, there's a great inside. They just do something fun with the AT-ATs versus AT-AT conversation that's in there. That was awesome. You mentioned the bombing of the droids in the Battle of Naboo was by far my favorite thing so far. I'm trying to figure out why.
It's just not that complex. I think it's a straightforward mini game where you move and shoot and you got a little leg and reload, but not that long of a reload for that kind of mini game. And it's just, for me, this is what I was talking about of the fantasy of what I want in video games right now is give me something where I feel powerful.
Yeah.
And to just see, I hit a button and all those droids go bye-bye. It's so simple. It's just the fantasy of power. I loved that one.
Yeah. Almost bowling for droids in a way. And then the tanks, it was so fun. It was so much fun. Love that one. I love roaming around the Death Star. It was really fun, actually, in the New Hope. But the trench run is really satisfying. It's really fun, kind of easy in a good way, which I needed to be because, you get confused flying pretty easily. It was the opposite of the Jango Fett battle experience for me. And another one I really liked is Yoda escaping Kashyyyk because the prequel stories seem to move a little faster so far than the original trilogy stories to me. That might be completely imagined, by the way. But you're just kind of moving, you're moving, and you get to Order 66 and all that kind of stuff. Really good stuff. They handle the trauma of it pretty well for a Lego game. But you actually, it's like you have to work for it to get to his little ET escape pod, as I call it. And it's really satisfying. It was a lot of fun.
Okay. I'm very much looking forward to that. That mini game was great fun. The Booma. I really love being in the Geonosian arena. Cause that was just like I just want to fight a bunch of guys for as long as I want to. And then the actual fight with Jango was fun. The mechanics, I'm sometimes a little slippery on the mechanics of throwing the lightsaber, but when it works, that's heaven. I was in my fight with Dooku. That was the last shot from pretty far away. I did it right. So Yoda bopped him in the head with the thrown lightsaber. And that was delightful. I also just for gameplay, I do love wandering around Coruscant. But I was testing is like, OK, well, Padme's walking around. Can she punch I punched Palpatine in the back and is like that was a favorite moment of gameplay because like. Well, if only it was that easy. If right away in the Phantom Menace,
just punch.
Padme just punched Palpatine in the back of the head and he fell off the Coruscant. I'm like, whoops, I saved the galaxy. I initially was annoyed by it because like, oh man, I'm just trying to move forward. But I actually really, really enjoyed serving mini game where Obi-Wan has to serve the correct dishes at Dex's diner.
Yeah,
obviously, we both love Dex's diner here. Mm-hmm. Truly, truly amazing. I think it was one of those things because, like, I started to enjoy it because the food was fun. I enjoyed being mad at the customers. They're like, you fool, you know, and seeing the different customers, the different things. And James Arnold Taylor is just doing an amazing job with all of Obi-Wan's little grunts and noises of annoyance. So it was fun to be in sync and be annoyed with Obi-Wan.
Yeah, I you know, hoping that there's going to be Dexter's Diner. I think we'd seen that there was going to be a Dexter character to play. Somehow that was in my mind. But to get in there and to actually have something to do in that diner was wonderful. Just wonderful.
Yeah, absolutely great. And then I was really like, I'm not going to play little mini games. I need to get going. But I so deeply loved being in the Jedi Archive Room. It was one of my favorite locations in Star Wars. And then Jocasta Nu is telling me that story. I was like, all right, I'm going to move the statues.
Yeah.
I had so much fun moving the statues around.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah.
Final bit of gameplay for me is the flying clicked a little bit better this morning, and I really enjoyed actually escaping as Rey and Finn. That was really, really fun.
I can't wait for that.
Yeah, because there aren't as many asteroids in your way, being none, and it's just taking down TIEs, and good job of going through the Star Destroyer. I'm throwing this at you. I wasn't in the original notes, but then I really realized that we need to talk about this. Did you have any favorite comedy moments? There are so many great comedy moments that I was tempted to stop and write down, but I wanted to see if any jumped out at you as personal favorites.
There's a lot all the way through. The little details, like I mentioned before, the pictures and stuff are really funny. There's some of the Padme stuff I really enjoyed. I think I did. It made me laugh where she's like kind of building the cake, but then he's having the dream and she's like, help me. And then it's like, it's building the crib. Like, I don't know. I don't want it to define any roles that I, don't want to just, get lost in that conversation. But I just thought it was really funny to me. And just also, what Padme wanted and what Padme was hoping and what they knew they couldn't have. And the tragedy of all, the comedy kind of highlighted that, in these classical, thing of a cake at a wedding with the wedding toppers and everything. I just liked the use of it. It made me laugh a lot.
Yeah, and there's some great cake through lines throughout.
Yes, there's a lot of cake through lines, yes.
The cake keeps popping up. The teddy bear keeps popping up. A lot of fun through lines. It was fascinating to play through the droid factory. I'll be honest, the droid factory in the Attack of Clones frustrated me a little bit in terms of gameplay, but the comedy of it was great. And I remember back in the day that was added, in pickups because Lucas wanted more action. I remember in 2002, 20 years ago, people being mad at it because it's quote unquote just a video game scene, and so then to be playing the video game version of it, but it really cracked me up at the beginning of it when Anakin said, I'm paraphrasing, this droid factory should be a safe route to finding Obi-Wan. It's so great in the absolute blindness. I wrote down a lot of things, but I'm only going to share a couple. The Petronaki Arena, there's a lot of great stuff. I love that they have the ice cream and then they realize it's droppings. That's funny. But the thing that really killed me is right before the fight begins, Mace has his parties over and then just does this little tiny movement to cut Boba Fett's balloon free. It's so cruel and so funny and so small, but it's brutal.
Yeah, Mace. Yeah, we got to talk about Mace. Yeah.
Yeah, we got to talk about Mace. That'll be one of our deep dive episodes. We got to talk about Mace. Like I said, could go on and on. This is a spoiler, but I'm going to share one thing from the Force Awakens level. I really, again, because I just wanted to get some gameplay in, didn't want to stop and talk to everybody, but I just stopped and talked to one random scavenger. And the scavenger had this really funny line that said, "I can't find anything interesting on this planet. It's Max Rebo's best album. All I can find is junk and garbage, but that's his worst record."
That's great.
The Max Rebo shout out was really funny, and just the like, oh, great. Because sometimes when you talk to people, they just ask you to do things.
Yeah. Well, okay. So there's one in New Hope, and you're walking around Tatooine, which I'll talk about in a second too for another question. But there's a gonk droid. You can talk to the gonk droid, and the gonk droid gives you this great speech how it's on a mission and it needs help to provide like electricity or whatever. It's like its gonk purpose or whatever it says. It's really funny. And then I was busy, so it asked you to accept or decline. So I decline, and the gonk droid just goes, "I have failed." And I just felt so bad. I was like, "I got gonk. I got to go, man. I got to move, gonk. I'll come back for you.
I'm trying to save the galaxy, gonk. Yeah. Get off my back."
That's so sad.
Any more comedy moments or shall we move on?
Yeah, we can move on. There's wonderful stuff all the way through.
Yeah. This is going to be an 8-hour podcast sharing jokes from a video game. It's very successful. Do you have a favorite location that you have just wandered through or that you want to online? That seems to be like a lot of people are having fun doing that. You know, taking Grogu special places. things like that. Have you done any of that free play yet? Or are you looking forward to specific things?
Yeah. Well, one in a follow-up question is that, an answer. I had to split these answers apart here, but there's this little joy. If you talk about favorite locations you just wandered through or that I want to get to, I was rolling around the Lars homestead, and just being in the house is cool, right? You're kind of roaming around. That's kind of fun. And the maps are so good. And a lot of the maps are kind of synced up to like Battlefront maps and other things. Like they've done a really good job on these worlds. But then I'm roaming around, like, so you have to get to Obi-Wan's hut, but that's part of the mission. And they've done a great job of taking Tatooine, that New Hope landscape, the Junlin Wastes, Obi-Wan's hut, put it all kind of close together, but you get a sense of Tatooine. And so I turned a corner and I literally went, "Oh, is that Tosche Station?" And I ran over and someone's like, "Oh, I heard this is a good place to get power converters, but it's closed." And I did that. And shout out to Alex Damon. Biggs is around the corner there. A lot of good, cool stuff. And I just had that, like, even in a game that I know I'm going to discover every little corner I love, I was surprised by that in the most pleasant way. Just, oh my God. And I ran to Tosche Station.
Oh, that is so great. Yeah, that is absolutely the kind of thing of where you forget, like, oh yeah, now I get to visit here. The Jedi archives in the Jedi Temple, I spent a little bit more time there rearranging those statues, but I just want to wander around there forever. I just want to spend time, you know, in that aesthetic. I didn't spend much time at all in the lower levels of Coruscant, but I would love to wander around there, that, you know, the dark neon cityscape. I also just really loved, for levels, I loved walking around at the beginning of Attack of the Clones, where it so easily could have just been like, yeah, no, we have the Coruscant map. You've already been here for Phantom Menace. But no, it is screen accurate. It is moody Coruscant.
Yeah.
With the, you know, the cloudy skies. Mm-hmm. I love the authenticity of that, the mood of that. And it made me want to wander around in moody Coruscant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Great. So I don't know if you've done any of the free play yet, but this is the follow-up question you're talking about of what is the weirdest combination of character and location you've enjoyed or want to?
So, yeah, I haven't done it other than one time after the first go-around. I was playing Phantom Menace, and you're right. You spent a lot of time on Coruscant, and I just kind of was doing the mission thing. So I went back to free play just to kind of see, because I did end up, I forget what download I pre-ordered, whatever, but I do have the Solo figures and the Mando figures, right? All I remember is price to go at $2.99 to download. So I bring up the free play and I'm on Coruscant and I had Greef Karga and Tobias Beckett. And so first of all, I will run around playing as Carl Weathers in a game. That's just, as a child of the 80s, this is the greatest thing. And, you know, Tobias Beckett there for some cheers, shout outs as well.
Yeah.
And I'm just wandering around, and I did not know I was in the East apartment district, whatever it is. And I stumbled into Padme's apartment before I had needed to get there in any of the games, right? And Attack the Clones to spend a lot of time. And I had this like, where am I going? What am I doing? Free plan. And I same thing with the Tashi stuff, like an in sharp intake of breath. Oh my God, this is Padme's apartment. And I immediately, as Grief Karga, make a beeline towards her bedroom. You know, just be like, oh my God, the setup is exact, because it's exactly, you know, exactly yeah. Right. And then there again, too, maybe you're still struggling with the prequels. I don't care what generation you're in. Maybe I have some friends who are like, yeah, I get your points, Ken. I don't know. I'm like, that's the balcony. That's the balcony where she combed her hair and talked about the lakefront in Naboo. Oh my God, it's her bedroom. Oh my God. And this is where they all sat. And this is the front door where Jar Jar goes, Annie. And I just was so overtaken by it. And there's a little mini game when you're doing the free play one. You have to go out on the balcony and do something. And here I am. But it's as Grief Karga and Tobias Beckett in Padme's apartment. All generations of Star Wars essentially coming together.
It really is. We've joked and talked about a lot and gotten questions about like, well, what if there was actually a Star Wars tour, you know, that you could go on? Like, it's the idea of like these two guys have got together, Grief Karga, Tobias Beckett, and they've paid for the historical apartment of Padme Amidala tour. That is really great. I definitely want to take Grogu to the Jedi Temple. I have not done any of this free play stuff, but I got that Mandalorian pack. So I would like to take Grogu to the Jedi Temple, which is maybe cruel. We'll see. But one of the other things that just really cracked me up and brought me a lot of joy is I love Jar Jar's dumb run.
Oh, it's the best.
The way he's just bouncing along. And I want to take him to all of the most sacred sites. I want to take him to Octo.
Oh, yeah.
See if he bonds with the Porgs and just have him run around. I haven't even played this yet. I have no idea what Octo looks like, but I'm sure it's there. I would love to have Jar Jar just la, 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 run, skip through the cliffs of Octo.
Yeah. Oh, God. That'd be the best. Yeah. Grace was passing through the living room when I was doing Oda Gunga. And she just stopped and dropped everything. Was like, oh, my God, Jar Jar, so cute. Just so cute.
The run is so funny. And he's there's a moment in Attack of the Clones where he's like, I don't think Obi-Wan likes me. Or maybe it's in Phantom Menace. It's very funny. So which character is not yet available, because maybe there'll be additional downloads and all that, that you would like? There's a deep, deep bench. But is there somebody who isn't in here that you are upset about?
Yeah, and I apologize. I know there's like complete lists out there or something like that. I don't know if all of them are there. So I can't, I don't know if Pelimoto's in the download for Mando. Ooh, I might imagine.
I don't know either.
Yeah, I imagine Pelimoto would be great. But then I went to fun ones, George Lucas and Flannel. Love that classic. Love to do that. Akmena. I'm surprised there isn't more holiday special references or something. Maybe are, and I haven't discovered them. Love that. And then, you know, with Book of Boba Fett kind of coming maybe a little bit too late, maybe a download of down the line, the mods. You imagine the mods on Tatooine?
Oh, yeah. Oh, that would be so fun. And you can already imagine that of people like their bikes go by and people like cover their eyes because they're so bright.
Right. Yeah, you can do that. And then I would love at one little section on in the New Hope one, you got to shoot Tusken Raiders, which tracks with the story. I felt bad. So now I want the warrior. I want to play as the warrior and even the score.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I want to go find Lorth, the watermonger, Lorth Appeal, and beat him up. Yeah, I don't think my beloved Terra Sanube is available, and I would do anything to have a little Lego Terra Sanube whip out his lightsaber cane.
Yep.
They got some deep bench resistance characters. I was just, you know, you can flick through the lists of who will be available. And they have Roby Tice, but they don't have her wife, Larma Dassey.
Oh, really? Okay.
I don't think so. So I want Larma. And you got me thinking about the holiday special. I would love Krellman. Krellman is like the character in Star Wars whose head is actually the closest to a Lego.
Yes, it is.
It's got a hole. You could plug another Lego into his head.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm excited for all of the characters and hope that we can get to see even more. Yeah. Thinking about the Book of Boba Fett characters is getting in there.
Good. So then, they got to have Teak on Endor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You will. Look, we got to embrace all of these characters.
And somewhere Nathan Hamill wakes from his nap, hear Teak mentioned.
The call of Teak has been released. So are there any parts of the gameplay that don't work for you? We've talked about things that we have been challenged by, but, you know, what is it that bothers you? And is it personal or is it any actual critique of the game?
I don't have any legit critique. I'm certainly not a gaming expert, but I've been playing my whole life, right? Look, I think some of it is me, but sometimes I feel the story mode is, you know, the missions are, it's too locked in. Not that I'm going to lose the pod race and the game goes in a different direction, like it's a choose your own adventure book. It has to follow the story. I get that. And there's creative ways to do it. Sometimes I just kind of get in a daze and I just mash buttons and I don't so much as complete the mission as just stumble to the end and figure out what I missed or what I did wrong. And I'll go back. And it moves so fast. It was a little bit of a bummer at first that it moved so fast. And then I kind of was like, nah, this is good because I kind of just want to get the free play. And I'm weird where I won't take the big free play deep dive until I complete all 9 of these. Just won't.
Yeah.
So that's me. So there's a little bit of that. The game. And then I think more than, again, it's been a long time. Yeah, I got very good at GoldenEye after a while. I wasn't the guy playing the game looking at the ceiling because I couldn't control the figure, couldn't control the game. Red Dead Redemption, I can control that almost as if I'm a real person, right? It's great. I can swing off my horse, pick a carrot, feed the horse, and get back on in two clicks. So I'm not totally bad at gameplay. This one gets a little, there was some frustration I just experienced on Hoth where like riding the Tauntaun was a bit of a challenge. Just little things like that that just maybe aren't my style does not mean the game is wrong. But we're dancing around a little bit. There's been a couple times where I've been a little frustrated by some of the gameplay.
Yeah, I think as every once in a while there's a little bit of a mini game that is frustrating. I got frustrated on the droid Foundry scene. You and I were talking about this offline, but there's a moment where 3PO needs to hit a button and there isn't a way to progress forward. And oftentimes when they put up an icon, it's hold the button rather than tap it. So I kept holding this button and the screen would make 3PO come apart. And I finally realized, oh, you can't hold it even for a second. You have to tap it. I think that's just evolution of video game design. Yeah. And I'm rusty. And there's a part of me that's still like, where's my physical taped together glossy printout?
Yeah.
With the instructions. And I think this is much more me not staying up to date with the evolution of video games. But it was frustrating because I really wanted to finish the story of Attack of the Clones. And it's like, this is a little too close to life where it's like, well, the only way to proceed forward is pushing this one button. But when you do, it doesn't work. And it in fact hurts you. It in fact breaks you. It's like a little too on the nose game.
Are you describing love and career? Yeah. Yeah, the Attack of the Clones level itself is I'll visit for free play. I don't know if I'll ever play the stories again. That's the most frustration. And thank God I was telling you off air, but I was streaming the Droid Factory section on my Twitch channel. And thank God, because I have people like Alden Diaz and Lauren Romo in the chat telling me, do this, do that. Because I was like starting to grab the controller to throw it type thing, which by the way, I haven't thrown a controller in years, folks. I've moved past that, but you have those urges.
Yes.
And the controllers are too expensive to throw. But yeah, thank God they were just like, no, no, idiot. You jump on that and then you do this. Otherwise I would have been lost. So,
yeah. Yeah. I think that is less gameplay and more me. But I think that is always a risk in the story mode. That there are so many different kinds of gameplay, little mini games pop up, and sometimes they're, you know, really intuitive, and sometimes they're a little bit more move this thing here, move that thing there, and you know, it's going to be a mix for different people.
Yeah.
I think the other thing for me is you know, I don't the voice acting is a little all over the map for me because there's some of those very recognizable voices were like, yes, that's the actor from Clone Wars animated series. I recognize that voice. It's like coming home. And then there's some other voices were like, wow, I don't know who's doing that, but that's great. And then there's some ones that are just odd. I'm not even going to say that I think they're bad. It's just one line sounds really great. Another line sounds really different, or it sounds like, it's not a critique of the performance. It almost sounds more like a creative choice. Like for Dexter, I feel like it's I was like, why is this feeling not right? And not that I have some world record shattering great Dexter voice. I was like, how would I read it? And I realized, I would read it much slower to sound closer to Dexter. So it almost seems like a creative choice of like, do Dexter, but get the hell through that line 10,000 times faster than he would have in the film. Yeah. So I think there's just like, there's some like choices about interpreting the voices and the performances that it is just a little bit of a weird sensation to feel like totally at home with one voice that you know really well, and then have one that goes like feels wonky.
The Dexter one was a little bit of a challenge for me too. But again, nothing against the perform at all. I had a little bit of a huh.
it was like you were listening to Dexter, but at like double speed.
There's also been such, you know, Stephen Stanton is old, Kenobi, James Earl Taylor, Matt Lanter. To hear James Earl Taylor, Matt Lanter doing like prequel dialogue from the movie, but to hear it with the Clone Wars voices was wonderfully surreal at times for me. Like, whoa, I'm hearing him say lines that I've associated with like Hayden, like for so long, or Ewan for so long. That was great.
I wrote that down. That was like a good gut punch to hear Matt Lanter be like, where's my mother? Like in that exact like weight that Hayden gives, you know, mother.
Yeah. Oh,
man. Great stuff.
Great stuff. I'm talking about voice actors, particularly enjoying AJ Locascio and Shelby Young, who's done Leia a few times, but as Han Solo and Leia. I don't know if AJ's done Han anywhere else. Really good. I mean, really vibe. It's vibe more than beat by beat, but then you start playing and like I'm on this Hoth level and you feel like you got Carrie and Harrison. It's really good.
Oh, that's awesome. That is great to hear. I can't wait to get to that one.
Yeah.
Is there any other Star Wars story you'd like to play through in this Lego style?
And look, we're going to, you know, downloads can make your dreams come true. There's a lot there. I mean, I don't know the whole story. I think maybe they were gearing up for this game. I don't know the whole story for it, but like there was the Lego Force Awakens one, which was good. I just never completed it, but it was a good game. And then that was kind of it, right? Until this. And I can get that. I can get if that was maybe what they were building for. The fact that we don't have a Solo, like the actual Solo movie in Lego form, it is made for this. It is absolutely, talk about whiz bang gameplay and adventure and everything. Like, that is what I'd love to experience. That they got the figures and everything, the minifigs and stuff. So give me, again, I get it. It's not the Skywalker saga here, but I would love to have something there. That, and then you know what? Just give me some specific stuff. I would love to visit Mortis and play the Mortis arc in Lego form.
Oh, that is a great one. That is, you have to fight the son. Oh man,
like a father, son, and daughter minifigs roaming around. Right.
Oh yeah. You have to fight Ahsoka. Great. I absolutely love that. The part of me that really, really enjoys watching Lego handle the dark parts of the story makes me feel like I would like just the third act of Rogue One.
Yeah.
Because it would be amazing fun gameplay in the part that I gravitate toward the most, of just kind of open combat. But then like, how would they dance around just that parade of fallen heroes? Would be really, really fun to see. I love what you're saying about Solo. There's so many great comedy moments. Like, I'd love to be going through there, the Corellian checkpoint, trying to find Drod Mundren.
Yeah. Yeah.
To get you booked. I know that they must have done this before, but I forgot how often they make fluids solid Lego pieces. That was one of the other things that cracked me up so much when a Boss Nass's spittle was large solid Lego pieces.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So now I'm picturing like you go on a mission to take for Han and Chewie to take a shower together.
Stop. The camera pads up slowly. Little Lego bubbles blocking what we need.
Yep. Oh man, a lot of great opportunities there. And it'd be great to play Kira. I'm sure that there are. No, I guess I'm not sure. Let me ask you:
mm-hmm.
Do you think the Mandalorian Lego adventure is in development?
Do I think maybe not? I mean, this one took so much to get to, but it would be well received, man. How could you not think of it, at least including Book of Boba Fett stuff? You know, get that all going.
It's just so built for missions, right? Of the you're sent, and I mean not creating a new story, but just playing through Mandalorian season one, season two, Book of Boba Fett.
Mm-hmm.
That would be amazing stuff. Final question here, Ken. If you were in this Star Wars game, what would your Star Wars Lego character be like?
You're going to be broken and confused. It would be when you break apart 3PO and then you can't figure out, you know, how to get it back together or what, where you need to go. It would be there. I would definitely be hanging out. I'd be one of those characters just kind of in the background at Chalmers that accidentally gets hit with a lightsaber and has to run.
Oh, I did that on Kamino. It's like, I'm trying to run through these hallways fast, and I threw my lightsaber to hit a plant, and like five Kaminoans just screamed and ran from me down a very long hallway for a very long time.
Yeah, that would be me.
I think I would like to be a Jedi. Cool robe, great. Maybe even a double-sided lightsaber, one side blue, one side green. Really cool. But then for unknown reasons, I run like Jar Jar.
That's about right for me. Yeah.
La da 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 da. Any final thoughts here on our look at our celebration of this great Lego Star Wars game?
Doing this episode and focusing on what the core of the game is, this celebration for this thing we love, has made me love the game even more. I really mean that because I have been frustrated. I have turned the game off in a shorter amount of time than I thought I would. And that can kind of lead to maybe I don't like this game as much, everything. And realizing that it isn't just about the gameplay. It isn't just about the story. It is about this whole picture and the laughter and the joy and just that the celebratory spirit that runs all the way through it. It is contagious. And so I think over lunch, I'm going to fire up a microwave burrito. I'm going to get Leia out of Hoth.
Get Leia out of Hoth. Yeah, I'm with you. I think it's fun and good for me to reflect on, you know, my evolution is a video game player and what is different for me because of where I am at life and where I have been previously and kind of trying to do the healthy thing of reconciling that times change, people change. I don't need to engage with video games the exact same way because there's that instinct to be like, I got to get back into 1997 video game shit,
right.
You know?
Right.
But instead just embrace what is joyful to me for where I am at in life. And this game has made me laugh out loud multiple times. It's made me, you know, just excited to really celebrate this story that I love, everything from just the aesthetics of an environment to a specific interaction or a connection. So I'm definitely going to finish playing all the way through it. And I'm going to, you know, have it as a resource for the free play to just be like, I just need to take a break. You know, I need to be actively doing something, but not, you know, taking in another story. Right.
Right.
And just kind of being active, but also kind of just being, and the idea to just celebrate Star Wars by just getting to that free play place of, where do I want to see old Obi-Wan visit? You know, is old Obi-Wan going to check out? Like, Octo would have been a much nicer place to hang out, you know, and just find those moments of joy in the free play. I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Great look at this. Ken, would you want to let people know where they can find us?
Absolutely. We are the Force Center podcast feed. Two guys trying to fly through the galaxy. We'll check in on Jennifer and see if she's had time to play this game next week on the new show. You can find us on Twitter at Force Center Pod. We are on Instagram and YouTube as well. Thanks to everyone who watched our live show last week, our live Q&A. We'll be doing more of those. You can watch the video. It's still up. A lot of great stuff that we discussed. Thanks to all of your questions. Facebook page is Force Center Podcast. We're available on a lot of different spots, including 2020, Acast, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, and more. Just search. You'll find us. Merch available at tpublic.com/user/4Center. I keep saying this. If you don't have a Speculate Responsibly t-shirt, now's the time to get it so we can spot you easier at Star Wars Celebration. We'll have a Speculate Responsibly t-shirt party there. Patreon.com/4Center is where you can support us directly. You can follow me at Ken Napsok or go to my website, KenNapsok.com, for information on all the things I do, including my music show, Pop Rockin' Radio. Check it out there. Joseph, where can they find you?
Yeah, you can find me Twitter, Instagram, TikTok is at Joseph Scrimshaw, and you can check out all of my other comedy adventures, including some possible upcoming shows on my website, josephscrimshaw.com. But for now, for myself, for Ken, for Grief Cargo wandering around in other people's homes, this has been our deep dive here on First.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional, unprofessional. So if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.